أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وعباد الرحمن صدق الله العظيم. We all praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him for giving us the opportunity to gather here today to remember Him and to also follow His guidance and follow in the footsteps of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, we have a very healthy attendance today, and this is in part due to our noble and beloved Haji Fazal Karim Saab, and also for those people wishing to seek and learn more about the Deen of Islam. But just before we begin the session itself, we are here because our Haji Fazal Karim Saab was somebody or something or someone to every single one of us in some capacity. Whether we see him as a son of such a person, whether we see him as a brother or a friend, as a husband or as a father or as a community member, these are some of the ways that we see those people who have passed away in our lives. But this is not necessarily how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us. And more importantly, this is not how the angels see us. Because when we are in our graves, they don't say, who are you? You are the son of such and such, the father of such and such, the friend of such and such. No. Their simple question is, are you the servant of Allah or not? Who is your Lord? What is your deen? And who is your prophet? They are more concerned about whether you are recognized as the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the servant of your own desires and whims, or the servant of another lord, or a servant of the dunya. Who are you the servant of? And this is what we will, inshallah al-aziz, talk about today. The ibadur rahman, the true servants, the servants of Rahman, the most merciful, the most compassionate, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before we begin, inshallah, we'll go through a very quick introduction. All of us, we have lots and lots of different qualities. We all have characteristics, and we all have our own particular descriptions. And we as human beings, we judge based on what we can physically observe. So the way that we see people, the way that we perceive them, that is how we judge people. We look at people's shape, we look at people's face, we look at people's height, we look at people's body and their weight and their habits, etc. And then we have a certain expectation. Oh, that, you know, he must be from this particular khandan. Oh, he has this particular color. He must be from this particular ethnicity or this area or this particular country. This person looks like a Pakistani. This person looks like an Englishman. This person looks like an African. This person looks like a Chinese. His behavior is like this. His behavior is like a white man. His behavior is like a black man or an Asian, etc. So based on the appearance of individuals and the demeanor, what do as human beings? We naturally judge them. So even with baradaris as well, what do we say? We say, this looks like a raja. He behaves like a raja. This looks like a sheikh. You know, he's not he's very miserly. This person looks like a chaudhry. Look the way he's strutting about. This person, he's from Mirpur. He behaves in a particular way. This person is a Punjabi. He behaves in a particular way. All of these are what? The way that we perceive and judge other people. Similarly, the way that we dress as well, and the way that we carry ourselves. You look at a person and say, this person looks like a doctor, he talks like a doctor, he behaves like a doctor. This person is very, very particular, he must be a lawyer. This person, look at his hands and look at his face, he looks like a builder. This person looks like an accountant, this person behaves and acts like a taxi driver. We look at other people, he looks dodgy. This person looks dodgy. He looks like a thief. This person looks like a liar. He behaves like a liar. He talks like a liar. This person is creepy. This person is shaitani. These are some of the words that we use. And other people, we say, this person looks sharif. This person looks honest. This person looks nice. So these are all of the descriptions that we use all the time for our own culture, our tribes, our communities, those people of affluence, and those people who are normal and ordinary. But my question is that have we ever paused and asked ourselves that what does a Muslim look like? What does a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look like? Beyond all of the other descriptions and characteristics that we see from our cultures, but what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see when He sees us? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us as His ibad, as His servants? This is a question far more important than your tribe and your hasab and your nasab and your accolades and your degrees and your and everything else that you do. And when we fall short of the expectations, oh, Punjabis, they don't say sorry, Rajah, they don't bow down, Sheikhs, they're not like this. There's a certain expectation. And then when we fall short from that expectation, then we disappoint other people. But have you ever asked yourselves, how many times do we fall short from the expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what we will, inshallah, talk about today. That it's not just about being who you are, that we are such and such. But in our qabr, on the day of Qiyamah, the only true description and the characteristics and the way that we will be acknowledged is to see whether we are ibadullah, whether we are ibadur rahman or not. Nothing else will matter. But unfortunately, majority of us spend our entire lifetime in just looking for who are X, Y, and Z. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't just create us without purpose and without guidance. He didn't just send us here on earth and say, go and figure out what I want from you. Go and figure out what type of traits and characteristics and qualities that I want from you. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent messengers upon messengers. Then He sent books upon books. And then He finally sent the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He finally sent the Qur'an, giving us very, very clear information. What was that? That وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I've not just created you for you to go and pursue all of these worldly things, for you to attain all of these titles, etc., for you to be recognized and appreciated by the dunya. I have sent you so that you can worship me. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us for. So ibadah, which is the crux of who we are. And ibadah doesn't necessarily mean just worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours a day in a masjid. All the cups that you are getting, please keep it safe. Inshallah, we'll get to why you're receiving the cups. So your work can also become your ibadah. Your education can also become your ibadah. Your treatment to your spouse, to your partner, to your parents, to your family is also an act of ibadah. You raising your children is an act of ibadah. Even your business, everything that you do, you can transform that and make that into an ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ibadah in the Arabic language comes from the root word of abd. And we all know what abd means, do we not? Abd means the servant of whom? Abdullah, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, abd has two plurals. One plural of abd is abid. And the second plural of abd is ibad. So all of us in creation, approximately the 8 or 9 billion people that are currently here on earth at this very moment in time, we are all the abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we accept it or not, because there are those who accept that they are servants of Allah. And there's 6 or 7 billion people in the world who may not necessarily accept that they are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are classified as the abid because they don't necessarily accept it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He talks about these type of people. وَمَا أَنَا بِظُلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظُلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ لَيْسَ بِظُلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unjust, neither does He oppress any of His abid, any of His servants. How does that make sense? So every single person in creation, they are all the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? One is passive and one is active. How? Because anybody here, did they choose their own creation? No, nobody chose their creation. Nobody chose when they come into existence. Did anybody choose their color? Nobody chose their color. Did anybody choose their height? Did anybody choose their weight? Did anybody choose their parents? Did anybody choose their health? Did anybody choose their life or their death or how long they will survive? Nobody chose any of this. Can any single one of you here or the remaining 6 billion people in the world take their heart and say, wait a minute, I'm going to stop my heart for about 2 minutes. I'm going to stop it for 20 seconds. Who has the power, the capacity to say, I'm in control of my body and I will do whatever I want. Even though you think and assume you own your body, you don't. All of this shows that you do not own yourself. It is actually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the 8 to 9 billion people in the world, they are all the abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they accept it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, why? Allah is their master, Allah is their creator, even though they are living whatever life that they want to live. So we have the abd, and from the abd you have the abid, the general people who do not acknowledge that they are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then from the abid, you have the ibad, which is where we come in as Muslims. You have the ibad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran reminds us many, many times, نَبِّعْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That inform my servants, not those other servants who don't even recognize Allah, but my servants, that indeed I am Ghafoor and I am Rahim. That know that my servants, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, that those are the true ones who are sincere. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah is all aware and all seeing of His true servants. اللَّهُ رَعُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the مُخْلِصِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows عِبَادِي يَشْكُورُ, those who truly thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows عِبَادِي الصَّالِحُونَ, those who are true and sincere in their worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have the abd, and from the abd you have the abid, which those who do not acknowledge Allah or worship Allah, but they are still the abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then from the abd you also have the ibad, who are the servants, true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we will be talking about inshallah al-aziz in the next 8 weeks, every Monday inshallah, about how and we should become the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true active servants of Allah azza wa jal, active servants of the Rahman. So we are from the select, distinct group of servants from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected to His majestic name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the servants, whose servants? The servants of Rahman. So we will inshallah al-aziz unpack who are these عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, and why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specify and choose these particular عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, and why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor these عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ. And we'll quickly very look into this. عِبَاد, as you know, is the servants of whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when something is attached to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is either attached because it belongs to Allah azza wa jal, or because it is associated and connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it receives a particular honor. For example, when it's part of Allah azza wa jal, we say kalamullah. What is it? The kalam, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is part of Allah azza wa jal. It is not separate, distinct from Allah. It is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran we know, yadullah, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though we cannot imagine it, but it is not separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, aynullah, the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, kitabullah, it is not separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This receives a particular sharaf and honor and nobility because it's part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And then we have those things that are not this part of Allah, but connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkatul Mukarramah. This is also a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is there barakah and mercy and blessings, and why is this place a sacred place? Because it's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah, why is there sharaf and nobility? Because the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have shahrullah muharram, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is muharram. So things either receive their nobility because they are part of Allah azza wa jal, or because they are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He described ibadur rahman, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are connected to Allah azza wa jal, and because of our connection to the ar-Rahman, this is why we receive that sharaf, that nobility and the honor in our lives, because we are connected to ar-Rahman. And ar-Rahman in the entire Quran, it is not connected with anything else. You can go through the entire Quran from the beginning all the way to the end, and those two Huffaz are here as well, and many more. You will not find Ar-Rahman connected to something else. We have Bismillah, Ar-Rahman separate, Ar-Rahim separate. And everywhere else in the Quran, the Ar-Rahman is separate, is individual. But there's only one place in the Quran where the Rahmaniyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla is connected, which is in this particular verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibadur Rahman, these true servants of Rahman. And what does Rahman mean? It has many multiple meanings in the English language as well as in the Arabic language. The beneficent, the most gracious, the most merciful, the most compassionate. These are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their connection to the beneficence of Allah azza wa jal, to His grace, to His mercy, to His compassion. They also share all of these beautiful things as well. So Rahman is on the wazn of fa'ilan. And in the Arabic language here, whenever something is not that particular wazn, the weight, then it means it's full of that particular attribute. So Rahman means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of rahmah. When you say in Arabic language somebody is ghadban, somebody is full of anger. When you say somebody is jawan, that means they are full of hunger. When you say somebody is farhan, that means that they are full of happiness. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, that the ibadur rahman, the true servants, not just any abd, not just any abid, but my ibad, my servants of rahmah, they are full of beneficence. They are full of grace and mercy and compassion. These are my people and they are connected to me in this particular way. And we learn from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that no one, including the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, will be able to enter into the gardens of paradise except via the mercy, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, even including me. So we all need the rahmah of Allah azza wa jalla. So the ibadur rahman are those who share this rahmaniyah of Allah azza wa jalla, and they spread it throughout the world wherever they go. So what makes them very special? Who are these ibadur rahman? And this is something that we need to really ask ourselves, whether we are or not. Because in our graves, this is one of the things that we will be questioned, that Allah ke bandeo, kis ke bandeo? And if you have been living your life, what type of life have you been living? So who are these ibadur rahman and what makes them special? Does it mean that these are the people who go on hajj every single year? No, not necessarily. Does it mean that those people who have the biggest beard? No, not necessarily. Is it those people who give millions and pounds? No, not necessarily. Those people who pray a lot? No. This is not necessary for you to do all of these things in order for you to become ibadur rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself very clearly, explicitly, distinctly in the Quran mentions who are these ibadur rahman. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا, that my true servants, the servants of Rahmah, are those people who walk on earth. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And this is a beautiful verse, word in the Quran, which hawna translates as those people who walk on earth with complete and utter humility. Other translations are those people who walk with ease, those people who walk in modesty, those people who walk gently, those people who walk with sedateness, those people who walk with thoughtfulness, and they recognize who they are, and they recognize where they are in the dunya. They don't make themselves to be lords, they don't become pompous or arrogant or obnoxious, but they remember that they are nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that they have is because of the rahmaniyah of Allah azza wa jal. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this connects back to my introduction. When we see somebody the first time, you don't know whether that person has just read 20 raka'at of tahajjud. You don't know that. That's in his heart. You don't know whether that person, the first time you see them, whether they have been fasting for days and weeks on end. You don't know that. You don't know if they've just donated £5 or £5,000 in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't know if this person has been praying Qiyam all night. You don't know any of these things. What is the first thing that you see when you observe another person? Is how they walk. And the walk then enables you to kind of distinguish and decipher what kind of person this is. Is that true? It is, isn't it? The way a person works, like, okay, you're walking like this, you have a particular thing. You know, everybody has a particular way that they walk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that if you want to see my servants, the servants of Rahman, then first go and observe how they walk. They will not walk with entourages. You know, they will not. Did you ever see the Prophet ﷺ with the Sahaba Karam walking on the side and the front and the waiting and saying Allahu, Allahu, and then coming in with all of these things? No. He was the greatest prophet, the greatest messenger, the greatest human being to ever be created. Look at how humble he was, how humbly he walked. And look at today, our shuyukh and our people and how they walk. Or look at our leaders and how they walk. They close entire roads because their peer is coming, or their sheikh is coming, or the MP is coming, somebody else is coming. Is this how you should walk on the earth, thinking like you own it and you have this particular right? No, ibadur rahman yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. They walk with utter humility, utter ease and grace, and gently. This is how they walk, how they carry themselves. This is the first thing that you observe about a person. This is the first thing that attracts you towards that person. If they're walking in a particular way, like, I've got no time for this person. But then what type of person it is. But if they walk in a gentle and humble manner, automatically your heart and your soul will gravitate towards them. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he never walked too fast. And neither did he walk too slow. He walked in a moderate manner, and his walk was not pretentious. And he didn't walk like, oh, I'm a faqir, I'm a miskeen. We see people like that. You know, we see people like that. Oh, ya bara Allah da banda bara muttaki. Look all the time, head down. No, Muslims should be upright. We should have a purpose. We should have a focus in our life. And we should be proud to be Muslims. We only bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only submit and surrender before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see these particular people walking in this particular way. Who are you trying to deceive, yourself or others, when you don't really bow down and submit to Allah azza wa jal in your salah or in your ibadah? That these people are faqir and miskin. We see these type of people around us. But no, he walked upright with purpose, with determination. And once Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he saw a man praying in his salah, and his mundi, his neck was completely down, and praying like this. And after he completed his salah, Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab said to him, the khushu is not in the neck, it is in the heart. Now, this is a very profound statement that he said. And this is how we need to change our kayfiyya externally. If we are not humble inside, then what is the matter? What's the point of showing ourselves to be humble in front of all these other people? So we need to walk upright. We need to be proud to be Muslims. But we do not walk with arrogance. We do not walk and talk down to other people. This is not the way of Ibadur Rahman. This is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jalla in the Quran, he reminds us, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. Do not strut about the land with insolence. Walk haughtily, walk exultantly, walk in self-conceit, walk proudly or arrogantly. Indeed, you will never be able to tear the earth apart, and neither will you ever be able to reach the mountains in their height. Who are we? Why do we walk around the earth like we own it? Now ask yourselves, when we walk around and we go to town, when we go to work, when we're driving in our cars, how we drive, what is our style of driving? What is our style of walking? That we own this. You know, we just need to go to Pakistan and see how our people, when you go from here and you have a little bit of money and you go there, then you expect so much from other people. But do you not remember that you are still a servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you do not own the earth, you do not even own yourself, that you were created from خُلْقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقْ. You were created from this tiny specimen of a semen, which you can't even observe with the eye, which has no even weight. This is who you're, what your reality is. And here you are, walking with arrogance, with pride, with pretension, like you own everything. Why? Because of your accolades, because of your achievements in your life. I'm a such and such tribe, I have such and such hasab and nasab, I have this dignity and this nobility from my family, I have such a degree, such a qualification, I have so much ilm and knowledge. Did you have more knowledge than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? More degrees, more qualifications? What did you have? How did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam walk? How did the Sahaba ikram walk? Look at their humility and look at our humility. How do we come to the masjid? How do we even park in the masjid? How do we leave our shoes in the masjid? And when we come here into the masjid, like, you know, and they say in Pakistan, park whatever you want, do whatever you want, behave however you want. And this is how we do it as well in our communities, in our societies as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't walk, strut about the earth, about the land like you own it, in insolence, in arrogance, in pretension, in proudness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, despises, does not like anyone who is self-deluded, who is proud, who is arrogant, who shows off, who brags, who is boastful. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, those people who walk like this. So ask yourselves, how has your walk been? How do you walk to the masjid? How do you walk to see your parents? How do you walk to see your employer or your employees? How do you walk to see those people that are beneath you? If you are walking in pride or in arrogance or even thinking that you are even slightly better, even an iota better than any other person, then know that you are walking on a very, very dark and dangerous path. This path of arrogance is the path of the shaitan. Don't ever think whether you're an imam or a sheikh or whoever you are, even if you're a sayyid or anything else, that you have any right to look down onto others, that you have any right to walk in arrogance on the earth or whatever you, wherever you may go, or look at other people. Arrogance, my dear brothers and sisters, arrogance destroys people on the day of Qiyamah. In the cups that you have right in front of you, for those people who haven't turned them upside down, pick up those cups. Inside that cup, you will see one single mustard seed. Pick them up right now. That is a mustard seed right there in front of you, which you can barely see, which is barely 1 mil. It weighs 0.000046 grams. That is the weight of a mustard seed. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the person who has even a speck of a mustard seed of arrogance in his heart will never smell Jannah, let alone enter Jannah. You'll never be able to smell Jannah. But the Ibadur Rahman, they do not walk with arrogance or pride or haughtiness or strut around the earth like they own it. They walk and they know who's above them. They know who is Rahman. They know how to carry themselves. They are proud only because they are Muslims, only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only because they are true followers of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, not because they are doctors or they are from particular other fields or expertise or they have so much knowledge and so much experience and they are successful businessmen or anything else. No. They walk in humility, in khushu, in hudu, hauna. This is how they walk. They have no entitlement because they know that no knowledge, no job, no wealth, no nothing is worthy of pride. Only one who is worthy of pride is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. All izzah, all honor, all pride, all majesty is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourselves, are we worthy of being calling Ibadur Rahman? How have we been living our lives? How do we walk to the masjid? Or how do we walk to our community centers or to our families, to our employers or employees? How do we behave like we own? How do we drive? How do we walk into the masjid when we feel like we're better than others? He can't even pray his namaz properly. He can't even do the azan properly. I've started to come to Fajr on a regular basis. Who this person is? These are things that start coming into our heart, in our mind, when we look at other people. But you don't look at their khushu. You don't look at their humility and their humbleness and how they are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start making fun of other people. We start looking down on other people and start feeling sorry for other people. All of this, brothers, is arrogance. And arrogance, which is the weight, just the weight of that mustard seed, will destroy you and not enable you to even smell Jannah. And unfortunately, our tribes, our clans, our communities, us as individuals, we're full of pride. Up to here, not even that mustard seed. We're full of pride. How dare this person speak to me like this? Who does he think he is? I'll get this person on him. I'll call this person, I'll do this. You use your power and your wealth and your knowledge and all of these things to show other people. But you forget who you are. You are nothing. You forget that pride and arrogance will destroy you. It will destroy the shaitan. It will destroy you. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He starts with the description of Ibadur Rahman, He talks about how they look. He talks about how they walk. Because from a walk, you can see how a person is. what their true or their reality is like. Even the true ulama with so much knowledge, they will walk with utter humility. I have seen so many ulama, true ulama, that they are standing there at the masjid serving other people water, feeding other people kujurs, and walking around, and you would never know that this person is such a saint, this person is X, Y, and Z. But other people, the little bit of knowledge or little bit of nobility or prestige or anything else, they walk around like they own the earth. Whether it's kings or queens, whether it's MPs or MNAs, whether it's other people of any particular maqam, how do they walk in comparison to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Ibadur Rahman, they walk with grace. They walk with humility. They walk beautifully without any arrogance. Why? Because they know they are on the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yamshuna ala al-ard. Ard means on the entire earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the entire earth, wherever they go, they are a source of humility, of grace. They are a source of rahmah, not just in the masjid, everywhere they walk with ease, towards their school, towards their market, towards the workplaces, everywhere they go, fil ardi, everywhere, they walk with humility, not just in the masjid. We've seen people, I see people, you see people, masjid, bilkul, sir thalle, everything, ji, and as soon as they're out there, and then hanji, this is the difference between abid and ibadur rahman. So who are you? Who are you trying to deceive? Yourself? Trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or people? Become ibadur rahman, and your salah should make you true ibadur rahman. Your salah removes arrogance. But in spite of it removing us the arrogance in our salah, we still manage to carry it outside of salah, in our homes, in our streets, everywhere else. We have this arrogance about us, the way that we walk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't walk like this. Don't behave like this towards your parents, towards your spouse, towards your children, towards your employer, towards your friends or your neighbors. Be easygoing, be gentle, be calm, be humble. So this is the first characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to be my people, this is how you need to behave. Ibadur Rahman, yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. This is how you need to walk, how you need to be within yourself, and how you need to show other people. And then the second characteristic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And within the half an hour today, we'll barely have time just to go through these two descriptions, and that's why inshallah, the next 8 weeks, we'll go through the remaining ones. So, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That when the jahil, the juhala, when the ignorant, this doesn't necessarily mean those people who don't have knowledge. No, but the one person who is ignorant is the person who doesn't know when to speak, doesn't know how to speak, doesn't know who they're speaking to. There's a way, there's a tariqah, there's a method of speaking to your elders, speaking to people of maqam, speaking to those people that are beneath you. There's a way. And if you don't utilize that way effectively, then you are a jahil. You could be a doctor, you could be a scientist, but if you have no tamiz in your speech, in your guftagu, then you are ignorant. Doesn't matter how much education and knowledge and accolades that you have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That when the mischievous, when the troublemakers speak to them, these are the people wanting to push their buttons. These are the people wanting them to make them angry, wanting them to respond in an awful manner, wanting them to lose their cool. But the ibadur rahman, they do not take the bait. They do not respond in that particular way. Even though they are provoked, they do not react. Even though they are cursed, they do not curse back. Even though they are made to get angry, they do not get angry back. Even though they are being talked down to, they don't be snidey and back. They do not degrade the other people. They respond with khushu. They respond in humbleness. They do not get angry. Ibadur Rahman, they say salam, which is the best of responses. That peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you. Why? Because these are the people who don't need the acceptance of humanity, because they are just looking for the acceptance of Allah azza wa jal. These are the people who are peaceful within their heart. So it's easy for them to walk away, for them not to entertain, for them not to react, for them not to stoop as low, for them not to take the bait, not to degrade their maqam. Why? Because their maqam is no longer ordinary. Their maqam now is connected to Rahman. And because of that Rahmaniyah, they carry themselves and they say, I don't have time for this. I'm not going to engage in this type of conversation. Or, dear brother, dear sister, there's lots of people here. Let's talk about this privately. Let's talk about this in another place. Or, you already have my opinion on this particular matter, and for you is your way, and for me is my way. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينُ. You have your opinion, I have my opinion. These are the people of Ibadur Rahman. How they walk is very, very important. What is in their heart is more crucial than externally what is outside. And these are the people, when they respond gracefully, and they communicate with dignity. They always know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. They always know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting of them. They remain patient and composed. How did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam respond to his enemies? When they came in and they said, we're going to kill you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Did he stand up like this? Okay, come on, let the kijasi, kawal, chalo. No, he didn't behave like that. He didn't react the way that they wanted him to react. He didn't hate them or swear at them or reject them the way they did that. He showed them that the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they walk like this, they talk like this. So ask yourselves, how is your walk? And ask yourself, how is your talk? Are you just an abd? Are you an abid? Or are you from the ibad? And if you are from the ibad, then why are you not from Ibadur Rahman? And if you are from Ibadur Rahman, how gentle and humble and modest is your walk, the way you carry yourself to the rest of humanity, the way you carry yourself to the masjid, and how is your kalam, your speech with all of those that are around you? Are you composed and dignified, or are you ready to spurt out all of that horribleness and that horribleness that comes out of your mouth? But know the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are beautiful externally as they are internally as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to become not just who we are as our names, and not just from our hasab and nasab, but actually become something which is worthy, which is what we will be questioned for on the day of Qiyamah, which is Ibadur Rahman. Walk well, speak well, and live well. Inshallah, we'll do the remaining characteristics in the following few weeks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Jazakumullahu khaira bi inshallahul aziz. مختصر تلاوت نعت اور ختم پاک پڑھ لیجئے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یہ اس کو